this prism effect and showing this swirl of colors. I'm sure you've seen this kind of thing before. Eunice James recounts, "When my grandson saw it, he came running into the house exclaiming, 'Grandma, come see the dead rainbow in the driveway.'" You know, rainbows have served as a symbol of hope and promise since God put one in the sky for Noah after the flood, right? But I'm wondering this morning, is your rainbow lying dead in the path of your life? We get it all plotted out in our heart and mind, exactly how we want and expect our lives to go. But really, how often do those dreams come true to the letter? Happily married, dream home with the proverbial white picket fence, 2.3 kids, a dog, 2 vehicles, a good job that we love, nice neighbors, good friends. And you know, just one thing can change the whole trajectory of our dreams. And that one thing can be our own poor choice. A bad choice. Or it can actually be a great choice and it turns things in a better direction. It could be something beyond our control. Somebody else's actions that impacted us. It could be disease or calamity that impacts us. Or it could be the call of God that takes us down a different path than we planned. You know, since the days of my youth, the burning conviction to be a preacher moved me in the direction that God wanted me to go. There was no escaping it. It was a compelling thing for me. And during my training at Lincoln Christian University, Jesus' commission to make disciples of all people really gelled for me and became a heartbeat in my ministry. And a picture began to materialize of what my ministry in the local church might look like. And that very vision led me here. But I have to tell you, I never dreamed that I would be 30 years leading an increasingly diverse urban church with the accompanying challenges and struggles. You know, but I'm thrilled to be right where God wants me. There's no better place to be than that. And you know, today, Western Hills Church stands at the precipice of a new opportunity, a new hope, a new way that we've been talking about. And we're poised for something special, something rare. And you know what? If we will just do what God's challenging us to do, we're going to see incredible things. It's time to shift from our dreams for our lives and for our church to God's dream. Bethlehem Dreams series has given some of you multiple opportunities to say things like, "Dan, preaching about dreams is appropriate since so many people fall asleep during your sermons." And, you know, when we can't get to sleep at night, Dan, we just do a download of one of your dream sermons and we're out in minutes to dreamland. You know, it's just great. Thank you so much. I want to ask you, though, have you ever been awakened in the middle of a great dream? And it was so good. It was so good. And so sometimes you try to get back to sleep and try to recapture that dream, trying to get into it again. Other times you can't make it happen. It's lost. Two young people in Scripture were in the middle of fulfilling their life dreams. They were engaged. They had it all planned out. The path ahead of them looked pretty good. Simple life, but a good life together. They could barely contain their excitement and their affection for one another. Their whole future was ahead of them until God invaded their dreams. Let's read the familiar account in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, if you'll open your Bibles there. Luke 1. We'll start in verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son. And you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Man, what a fascinating turn of events. What a change of life. Totally unexpected. Mary was not the only one to experience a dream intrusion. Her fiancé, Joseph, was impacted by her experience. He had a dream that shattered his dreams and adjusted his path. In fact, if I were to speak to you today about Joseph the dreamer, those of you who know the Old Testament would probably immediately think of Joseph, son of Jacob, who had dreams of his brothers bowing to him. Remember that? And then he ended up in Egypt. And there in Egypt, he ended up in jail. But he interpreted the dreams of two other prisoners. And that ended up coming around. So he interpreted a dream of Pharaoh. And that interpretation saved Egypt, saved his own family. And it saved many other nations as well. Joseph the dreamer. But the truth is, Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, had more recorded dreams than Joseph of the Old Testament. It is fascinating. Four times God spoke to Mary's Joseph, four times in dreams of all things. And so we're going to look at all four of these dreams as we go along this morning. But the first one's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. Starting with verse 18. "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Now I'm wondering, Would you be willing to trade in your dream like Joseph and Mary? I want to invite you to consider some radical dream trades this morning. The first trade is this: trade me dreams for he dreams. Trade me dreams for he dreams. I have to tell you, I don't want anyone really messing with my dreams, do you? There are futures for which I long intensely, for which I've devoted my life, or at least a significant amount of effort in my life. And I mean, that's the nature of personal dreams, isn't it? We won't allow anything or anyone to derail our aspirations. But God is asking us to trade me dreams for he dreams. This was not what Joseph signed up for. He surely pictured a different life path. Everything was arranged and looking promising, as we said. He didn't anticipate marrying a pregnant woman and having to wait for intimacy until after the child was born. Mary did not expect the humiliation of an unwed pregnancy either. The potential of losing her fiancé, losing her reputation, and worse. God altered their dreams to bring about the greatest blessing to mankind. You know, every Jewish woman dreamed of being the mother of the Messiah. They probably didn't expect to be, but they all would dream of that. What a wonderful honor. I mean, the Messiah would have to come from someone, right? And what a glorious honor. But I don't think anyone imagined a virgin birth, even though that's prophesied. I don't think they imagined it that way. Did you see the article this week about a professor at Minnesota State University who accused God of assaulting Mary in the conception of Jesus? Dr. Eric Sprangle, a psychology professor and sex therapist, said, "The virgin birth is about an all-knowing, all-powerful deity impregnating a human teen." He said, "There is no definition of consent that would include that scenario. Happy holidays." So he's saying even Mary can say, "Me too." But what a sad, ill-informed commentary about this glorious work of God in Mary's life and her response. I don't think he read her song, the Magnificat, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. Joseph and Mary both nobly accepted the cost and traded their dreams for the plan of God, willingly. Now, as much as we prize our dreams, God always has a better idea. And he can orchestrate our real-life nightmares to redirect our lives to better paths and better outcomes. And he can take our best wonders, our highest hopes, and turn them even to greater things. You know, there's an old tale of a survivor of a shipwreck marooned on a remote tiny island. He managed to construct a little hut there, and then he kept everything that he had salvaged from the wreck, and he kept it in that hut there, and it became very precious to him, much like Wilson in the Tom Hanks movie Castaway. Every day he prayed for rescue, scanning the horizon for a passing ship, hoping and hoping. One day he came back from across the island and found his hut engulfed in flames. He lost everything, and he became very angry with God for not rescuing him and for allowing all that he had left to be destroyed. You know what? The next day a boat arrived on the shore and he was rescued. And he asked how they found him and said, "Oh, we saw your smoke signal yesterday." Folks, trade up. Trade up. From me dreams to he dreams. A second trade is to trade now dreams for wow dreams. Mary dreamed of a wedding. Joseph dreamed of a wedding night. You don't mess with a bride's plans for a wedding day. I hope you know that. You don't mess with that. And you don't mess with a groom's plans for the wedding night. But God didn't hesitate to do so because he had much bigger dreams in mind. To consent to God's dream meant sacrificing their standing in the community. People would not understand Joseph marrying a pregnant woman. And that's pretty hard to cover up. People would assume either this was Mary's child by unfaithfulness, or this was Joseph and Mary's child by fornication. In fact, later, Jesus was berated as the son of a carpenter, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? Calling him a son of a carpenter. Man, that is a jab at his assumed scandalous conception. And it's a clear denial of his divine father, of his deity. God's outrageous plan could also jeopardize their friendships, their family relationships. It would bring hardships and heartbreak and family discord in their lives. It meant giving up intimate relations until Jesus was born. This would be hard, if not extreme, but it was critical that that happen for maintaining the integrity of Jesus' identity. And so once again, in the Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Because Mary and Joseph traded the pleasures of now for the wonders of wow, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A Savior has indeed been born. God came near. Lives have been changed for eternity, including yours. Joseph and Mary didn't even get to name the son growing up in their care. This wasn't Joseph Jr. After early years of Jesus' life and one episode at age 12, Joseph is not even heard of again in Scripture. He's more of a prop in our modern nativities and dramas, isn't he? But by God's grace, God's plan, Joseph got to raise and mentor the young Christ. Jesus was subject to him, the Scripture says. And he was there observing as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Joseph had up-close personal contact. Jesus' lineage was traced back to the very beginning of the line legally through his adoptive father. Both he and Mary got to play this significant role in God defeating Satan and saving the world. How wow is that? It's pretty wow. You may have plans for your retirement now, but God has plans for his kingdom. Wow. You may have plans for your career, but God has a mission. You may have dreams for your family, but God has dreams for his family. You may have plans for your kids. You may have imagined and hoped for all kinds of things, that they be in the big school production, the star of the team, get that scholarship, fit in with the crowd, have a good fun, you know, all these things. You know, grow up, have a good career, good life, good family together. And getting them through that, reaching these dreams takes a lot of devotion and sacrifice and time. And you know what the truth is? You don't have time to be in a life group or to serve on a ministry team. And as wonderful as those dreams are, you can't even get here for worship every Sunday, to be honest. We need you Sunday plus two. You know? As wonderful as your dreams are, what priorities and values are you teaching your children? Are they discovering the indescribable wonders of life with Jesus? Now, I'm not judging. I'm just asking some honest questions that I've had to ask myself. I have to challenge myself. You know, I remember as a teenager, I told my track coach I wouldn't run in any track meets on Sunday. And I was going to go to church, and my friends heard me, and they said, we're with him. We're going to do that too. And my coach got so mad that he said we weren't dedicated, and he quit. We didn't have a coach. So we won the state championship without him. And, you know, my friend Joe had a little different scenario. He got benched from the starting five his senior year because he would not give up Thanksgiving Day with his family to go to basketball practice. And he rode the bench the rest of the season. And he didn't get the basketball championship or the basketball scholarship to a D1 school. But today, he is a great preacher in a mega church leading hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ. And all his children have prioritized the Lord in their lives, and he's rich in what really counts. God convicted Joseph, explaining, you know, Jesus is going to save people from their sins, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. So Joseph gave up now dreams for wow dreams. And after all was said and done, even with all the hardships and dangers and challenges that they endured, you think Joseph and Mary regretted trading up for the wonders that they experienced and what Mary pondered and treasured in her heart? Dream intruders can be so disorienting, even devastating. And in those occasions, our hearts can look like shattered china against a hard floor. Nothing will ever be the same now. But sometimes far down the road, we realize that God used that terrible change of trajectory as a blessing. Have you noticed? Perhaps that broken engagement to the one that you thought was your dream guy, turns out the Lord was protecting you from that guy. Or maybe preserving you for someone better or a different future. You know, you were on the fast track with your dream career and suddenly your job is taken away. And you had no choice. You had to start a whole new career. What's God up to? And it doesn't feel good in the moment, but at times we discover God is orchestrating wonders out of our rubble. You dreamed and invested and were looking forward to this well-deserved retirement all these years, and now the time has finally come and you're so happy. And 1 month into your retirement, you're diagnosed with a debilitating disease. Why would God allow your plans to be derailed like that? Sometimes He has greater things to work in our lives and in the people around us. It's sometimes hard to understand. But I know that we have to trade. I know a retired couple who traded their Winnebago life for mission work. And they finished their lives happier and more fulfilled than they ever dreamed. Divorce, Alzheimer's, bankruptcy, Down syndrome. These are not anyone's dreams. And they're really not God's dreams for us either. But God can take those nightmares and turn them into everlasting wow dreams. So here's Mary, do it any time. And Caesar commands that everyone travel to their city of ancestry to register for this tax census. And they had to make this arduous journey to Bethlehem, where she's really due, and that's where Jesus is born in less than ideal circumstances. But the wonders just keep coming. As shepherds show up with this crazy story of seeing angels from God. And then later, Magi come from the east. They arrive to worship the Messiah, the child king, bringing extraordinary, expensive gifts fit for a king. And they navigated there, they said, by this special star. Wow! Do you long for some wow? Trade up. Trade up for the temporal, trade up from the temporal now dreams to God's wow dream. Now, don't get too comfortable in your new Bethlehem dream world. Joseph had a second dream here in Matthew chapter 2, starting with verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. That is when the Magi had gone. The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. And so he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Trade fixed dreams for followed dreams. Now, we like things the way they are, don't we? Don't mess with it. It's comfortable. It's our dream life. Locked in, we hope. Fixed and secure. It feels good. Maybe, like Joseph and Mary, we're just getting settled into our new reality when God says it's time to move again. And this was their hometown. really. This was their ancestry town. Family and relatives here. Connections. They had a house by now. They'd started all over in Bethlehem. And God says, move. Time to go. How many of you like moving? Huh? You know, some of you have been in the same place for decades. I've actually lived here far longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life. But I was once a frequent mover. I moved 10 times before moving here in my life. 10 times. In fact, I went to 3 different high schools when I was a teenager in 3 different states. And that took a little adjusting. Tough for a teenager. Moving is always an ordeal. In fact, it's ranked as one of the top stressors. Moving is one thing. But suddenly packing up and moving in the middle of the night is quite another. But following God's plan was vital for the survival of the Christ child and for the salvation of the world. And so Joseph traded a new life in his hometown for life in a foreign country. And their obedience enabled another amazing thing. The fulfillment of a prophecy that verified the identity of Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. Quoting Hosea 11:1, out of Egypt I called my son. Now we've been talking about starting up these life groups and we need leaders. We've had some training for it and so on. And and maybe you're thinking, you know, Dan, I don't think I could ever lead a life group. I might be able to participate. I lead a life group. And I say, trade your secure, fixed dream for a follow dream. Because you can learn to do this. It's not very hard at all, actually. It's a facilitating role, not a Bible teacher. And you just kind of prompt, and community life, Bible study, and discipleship begin to happen. As a matter of fact, I found this fascinating. In September of 2017... high school and middle school students in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, were trained in the very same relational discipling life group techniques that Eric Derry and David Lynn shared with us in November. There was about 30 of us, a little more than 30 of us, gathered and went through this training in November. Now, while these 10 students were being trained in these small group things, by the third week, they were challenged to go find 6 other students and start a group and train them with the same Bible study format that they were learning. And you know what they did? All 10 of them did that. So here's what's happening. They're participating and being trained in a life group, but at the same time, they've started and they're leading a life group. And each student went out there and reproduced what they were learning in their life group so that the students in their groups that they started and who they were leading by the third week, you know what they told them to do? Get out there and you start a group now. You go do it also. And they did. And it kept multiplying. This is stunning. Within a year, they had 150 discipling life groups in the high school and middle school, all started and led by students. Teenagers. How did they do it? And that's not 150 people, that's 150 groups. They traded their comfortable, secure, fixed dreams for follow dreams. Isn't that what Jesus said? Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men, you know it. Do you believe him? Are you following? Would you dare follow? Well, Joseph had 2 more dreams in which God intruded and spoke. The first was a welcome dream change, I think, in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So they were headed back. You know, finally, we get to go back home. Trade familiar dreams for fulfillment dreams. We're going back home, Mary. Gather things up. Back to the land of our people. Familiar faces, lifestyles, customs, you know, familiar streets, familiar shops, familiar synagogues. Home, sweet home. Not so fast. One more dream. In the next verse, verse 22. But when he heard, when Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Couldn't go back to Bethlehem. So having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in the town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called, the Messiah will be called, a Nazarene. Nazarene. Now, this wasn't really what Joseph had in mind when God said, you can go home now. He thought they were going back to Bethlehem, I think. But he'd rather they be safe and sorry. And at least they were familiar with Nazareth, because that's where all this started for him, for Mary and him. God, this was a God thing going on. It fulfilled another prophecy that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Jesus' identity is always vivid in the details. God's plan was fulfilled so that our greatest hope of salvation and eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, could be fulfilled. And so that makes me want to opt for fulfillment over the familiar. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Now, all those regions were at least somewhat familiar to the disciples when he said that. But then he added, and to the ends of the earth. He said, go make disciples of all nations, all peoples, all ethnics is the word. Glenn Shady family opted for fulfillment in France over the familiar here. Grace Spaulding opted for fulfillment dreams in Kosovo over the familiar here. I thought about this. It's easier for churches to relocate from their urbanizing neighborhoods to suburban, homogeneous neighborhoods. Some leave because they don't know how to break through the urban cultural barriers, and I understand that. It's hard. The truth is, homogeneous community churches often flourish rapidly, numerically anyway. And I praise God for people that are being reached and all the people and all the things that are able to be accomplished by this. And I'm not judging anyone. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But I do want you to understand that we have chosen not the familiar, but we've chosen a more challenging path to stay in our community and to build bridges into unfamiliar territory and disciple relationally the diverse populations around us and opting for God's fulfillment dreams over what's familiar. Joseph and Mary prompt right responses when God alters your dream life. Submissive rather than resistant. You know, what we know about Joseph could probably be defined by four lines in Scripture. In response to dream one, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. Took Mary as his wife. In response to dream two, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. In response to dream three, so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. In response to dream four, having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Obedience. Mary's life is captured in just one line. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. I'm the Lord's slave. I'm the Lord's bondservant. May it be to me as you have said. I'll do it. They challenge us. They challenge us. Will you let the Holy Spirit invade the most protected prized area of your life. Nothing is off limits. Nothing. Everything is on the table for trade. A second response is faith rather than fear. One of the first things Gabriel, the God's messenger, said to both Mary and Joseph was, "Don't be afraid," right? They had reason to be scared, but they chose to believe and trust the Lord with every step and every move and every struggle and every outcome. And I suspect that sometimes we miss experiencing the real wonder of God's unfolding dream in our lives because we're afraid to let go of the me, the familiar, the now dreams, and trust our lives and our future, our dreams, in His hands. And thirdly, third response is focus on the eternal outcomes rather than the immediate fallout. Joseph and Mary had to focus their attention on the lasting results of what God was doing, not their immediate dilemmas or dangers. They couldn't worry about what everyone was thinking. They kept God's saving purpose in their minds, and it enabled them in their present. And because they did, the blood of their own Son redeemed them and us. Don't be concerned with what people think or how the culture's going to react or how it's all going to work out. Focusing on God's eternal outcomes frees us to trade up for His big dreams. Just one more thing. I don't know what dream you're following, but I can tell you this. The right dream will always focus on Jesus. And this morning I'm hoping that someone today will look into your future and see a life with Jesus. You'll see a new beginning, the forgiveness of sins, an empowered life, eternal life, a life not free from struggle, but a life with Jesus, with wonders and wow that you've never imagined. And if you'd like to give your life to Christ and be baptized today, I'll meet you here in the front. And just come up during our encounter time. I want you to dream with God as you commune with Him today. I want you to see His dream loom large in your life. I pray that you ask Him, "God, show me your dream for my life. Show me where you're taking me, what you want me to do, or at least what's my next step. Show me what I need to let go of so that I can be a participant in your dream. Show me what changes I need to make." You can participate in the Lord's Supper. The tables are set in the four corners of the room. And so when you're ready during this meditation time, just feel free to get right up and serve yourself. If someone needs help, you can help someone who might not be as mobile. Please feel free to do that.